Moody's Analytics will host its second annual Ag Day virtual conference dedicated to the discussion of agriculture. Ag lending professionals come together for 2 days of peer sharing, best practice concepts, and critical insight into agriculture's road ahead. Learn more at moodysanalytics.com/Moody's Ag Day 2021.
A couple of years ago, Debbie Nissler started at the Iowa State Fair in the middle of the state fair in her new job as, for the lack of simplicity, let's just call it head of Iowa 4-H. But what's the real title?
I am the Iowa 4-H program leader.
So did you know when you took the job that you would start right in the middle of one of your biggest events?
I actually planned that on purpose. I think there's no place better than learn a program than when there's a little bit of stress and a lot of accolades for our youth. So I chose that on purpose.
And you came to the Iowa State Fair, and then all of a sudden you didn't have a state fair, and we'll get into that. But then when you're in your first full fair, you have this new building. What do you think of this?
Oh, it's amazing. It is so wonderful. It's a much better opportunity for us to showcase the events, the items and exhibits that the youth have worked so hard all year. Some people don't realize that they've actually been working on these projects and learning about their projects and for the whole year. So this is really this is what I've learned all year. And so we really want to be able to make a nice stage for them to say, this is what I've learned and come see it.
So a little tour of sorts. To our right and to our left are, they could be one large classroom or two small ones on each on the north and south side. What is your vision for putting programming in there during the state fair?
So we have programming going on in those rooms the whole 11 days. Youth will do extemporaneous public speaking, prepared public speaking, demonstrations. So it's an opportunity for them to actually demonstrate what they've learned to a judge, get questions from the judge. So those actually will be scheduled pretty much nonstop throughout the fair.
Well, and they have great views, the windows, especially on this north one. It sees way more than the fair. It's going to be that secret spot where people are going to want to have meetings.
Oh, I've always said it would be great to put benches out there and colorful exhibits out the window so people could see it from the outside.
Yeah. Well, let's not just talk about it. Let's go see it. We're going to go
Sounds right.
A little bit of a ride. Thank you for doing this crazy idea. What's been your impressions of 4-H in Iowa since taking over?
It is one of the most amazing programs. This is my fourth state to work in, and Iowa loves 4-H like no other state I've worked at. You know, sometimes you go to a state and, or you go to a, watch out.
I'm going to hit somebody.
Yeah.
Because I'm not paying attention.
So when I was in Florida prior to here, if I were going to the grocery store and I had a clover on my shirt, it's about a 20 to 30% chance that somebody would know what it was. In Iowa, everybody knows what that 4-H clover is, and it's they're very proud of the Iowa 4-H program. And that's a lot of responsibility, but it's also one of the most amazing things, because I know that there are generations of 4-H'ers who have invested in this program and also have a vested interest in its success. So that is quite an amazing thing.
When you mention the generations and they're coming to see this, I think two people have come up to you already in just the time we've been hanging out saying, I have to see this building because my name three kids have come through here before. A lot of people want to see your changes that have happened.
They do. You know, yesterday afternoon we had a great uncle. So his brother's grandchildren, he wanted to come see their exhibits, and we went and found it for him. And he let us know that his brother had passed away and he's kind of serving as their grandfather. And he had tears in his eyes when he got to see that and told memories of seeing his children's and his exhibits there. So it is, there's a lot of history, and they're so excited to rush into the building and see some of the exhibits.
We just rushed by the tractors and I didn't mean to, but that what you just said brings up what's part of interest for 4-H'ers, connecting generations, because there's a good chance that's grandpa or great-grandpa's tractor that they restored.
That's right. If you go and look at some of the write-ups and the little binders that'll be by most of our exhibits, it'll say this was grandpa's truck, or this was grandpa's tractor, or this was the table that my grandma and grandpa grew up eating at, and they've restored it. And they've put work in some of these exhibits in there. Those look like professionals have spent you know, months and months doing them. And it was done by a youth.
What about these exhibits out here? Because these aren't necessarily tractors, but they also have historic significance. But there's a word that really stands out to me that's kind of what maybe has changed about 4-H, and it's the word STEM. Are all these projects STEM-related, or why are they outside by that sign?
Well, part of the reason they're outside is their sheer size. We could not fit those tractors inside the building. But we do try to kind of congregate them along common themes, and STEM is one of our biggest themes within 4-H. We know that we need to grow good citizens. We need to grow prepared citizens, prepared to work in STEM fields. And we want to give them those opportunities to learn those skills early. And so we start them. We've got our Clover kids that are kindergarten through third grade that are starting to do STEM activities. And they'll work up to creating some of these amazing projects that they're doing. They'll do welding. They'll have to create certain angles, and they'll have to learn how to create that angle. So it's amazing.
The STEM side, because my 4-H experience wasn't based necessarily on the science and technology and engineering. Yeah, engineering, yes. Mm-hmm. There were welding projects. Mm-hmm. But you talk about making better citizens. Was there a reason that 4-H embraced the change in adding STEM?
It wasn't when I was a 4-H'er either. I think we probably learned those skills. We didn't even realize we were learning those kind of skills. 4-H is really great at just kind of, you know, adapting to what's needed. We try hard to listen to what, one, our participants and families need. We also try to look to what our partners that are hiring future, the 4-H'ers that are future adults and future workers, we try to listen to what they need. And we were hearing that STEM was needed. Those skills they were lacking in graduates have, and we said, well, how do we do that? So we put in for grants, and we started working and looking for curriculum, creating our own curriculum. We now create kits for our Clover kids to do STEMlet and ArtLet and all the different to-go kits that have little activities that those youth can start exploring and start using their hands and their minds early. So by the time they get into high school and get ready for college or a tech field, that they feel like they're prepared.
The pivot of 4-H, you talk a little bit about that. We talked about our history. Has 4-H been in a greater pivot since you started here in Iowa than they have in the last year?
You certainly could say that. I think I'd been here about 7 months when the whole world pivoted and shifted. And 4-H staff are some of the most dynamic and passionate individuals that you will ever meet and ever see. And they didn't miss a beat. We immediately started thinking about, okay, how can, we know we can't go in person. How can we start delivering programs virtually? It was probably something that was sitting right there ready for us to do, you know, needed to happen. We needed to make that shift. And so they forced our hand, and we had to figure out how to shift. And we shifted like nothing I've ever seen in any. It was amazing to watch. I have the best staff ever. They found ways to be innovative. They found ways. We had staff that were doing Facebook live feeds, doing exercises every day with kids at their cameras. We had staff that were doing daily check-ins with clubs to try to talk them through the stress level. One of the biggest things that I would say I attribute to what the staff did is they took care of each other. And then they took care of all of Iowa 4-H and made sure that our volunteers and our youth felt supported when they were at a stress level that we've not seen in our lifetimes and in a couple lifetimes. And they were so concerned with how do we make them feel better? How do we make them feel like it's going to be okay? And that was something that had been evolving for a while with Mindful Teen program that we have and some of our health and wellness. It's becoming okay to talk about having worries and having stresses. And so we tried to find ways to support our youth. And so we did some of those mindful teen programs virtually. We had Zoom calls. We also started something as staff that I started doing because I was worried about all my staff statewide. We did daily check-ins. It started every day about the end of March, and it actually went every day for several weeks, and then every other day, and then a couple times a week. We spent, I had no less than about a, no less than 170 staff on every Zoom call every day. No agenda. I was just doing, what's going on out there? How are you feeling? How can I help? And it was a time for them to share good stories, stressors. There were tears, but it really formed a team that I think it would have taken years and years to form.
And it allowed you to get to know your team.
It did.
Too.
I know staff like I've been here years, and it sometimes feels like it's been years, but it was something that I hope we never have to do again. But it was something that formed some strength within our team that you can't replace.
This team, as they come to the State Fair again, we're now on the south side of the building. I just need to pause in what I'm asking you. New concession stand, what else is in this area here that maybe staff can use, or is this more support?
Well, they've got the concession here. We also have a break room with some little meeting rooms in the back, so that's where we support our volunteers. There's food and water and things back here. So it's allowed us a little bit of space back there.
Yeah. And let's face it, a new building also, let's get back to your staff, is good for morale.
Oh, it is. Yeah, they're excited to show it off. The lighting's so much better in there. There's bigger room. We get to think bigger. So what are some things that we could do? So yeah, they were very excited. They were excited to be here in person. But then to go and get to show off our new building is something that they're very, very proud of.
And that puts us, I would imagine, a jolt through the state and some of the young 4-H'ers that are coming from Lyon County and Louisa County, Pottawatomie, wherever they're coming in from. They're like, oh, could you, again, back to the, we got our new building.
Yeah. It's connected us. You know, the pandemic connected us. We had a shared purpose, which purpose is an important thing to help youth find. And so we had a shared purpose, and the 4-H building and being at State Fair allowed us a chance to kind of rally together and enjoy a little bit of celebration.
Speaking of the State Fair, do you know the story about the etching on the side of the building? Because it looks a lot like what is on the other side.
It is. This building, when it was built originally, was a tree building. And we pay a little homage to that by continuing to have the, you'll see it all the way around the building. There's still eggs and chickens and geese. And so they want to honor that history, which I love. Iowa State Fair is so good about honoring the history of the fair. And this is how we do that. It may be look new and innovative, but it still has a little bit of history around it.
You're coming to the fair every day. You see this new entrance. Let's face it, it does get to be a grind when you're here every day. Everybody can say they love the fair. But, again, back to the space, it just reaffirms, because you have STEM, healthy living, leadership, and civic engagement. It reminds you of what you're doing.
Yep. So we put those window clings both on that side and this side of the building on purpose. We wanted to remind people that 4-H, we love the traditional part of 4-H. You get to see the tradition here at the State Fair. But Iowa 4-H is so much more than our traditional projects. It's STEM. We actually launched food into space on Sunday.
I heard about that.
We did, and that was highlighting that we have a partnership with the Iowa Space Consortium. And we teach space and connect that with STEM and try to connect them with that innovation. And so it went 120,000 some odd feet into space, and we had a camera on it. We had probably 100 youth and families out here watching it take off, and they learned about it at the same time. They learned about what it took to put it in space. They used helium, how much helium. So those simple things that they're just interested in how it works was also some just kind of basic STEM concepts.
Is your background in sciences?
My bachelor's is in wildlife science, so I actually do have a science background. I'm a kind of a science geek too.
After my failed driving and talking attempt, what's been some fun parts for you to explore at the fair?
I love going and seeing the baby animals. You know, one of the pieces that 4-H has been committed to for its lifespan is ag literacy. Is the idea of making sure that all youth, whether they live in the urban part of Des Moines or the most rural corners of the state, that they have an understanding. They don't necessarily have to love it, embrace it, want to work in it, but have an understanding of it, and getting to see, you know, chicks hatch and baby ducks swim in a pond and see baby, see piglets and goats being born in real time is something that hopefully they'll remember, and in the future they'll think about that as you know, ag legislation or something comes through, they remember, oh, I remember that ag is important to our community, particularly here in Iowa.
We just had a new census that has shown that we are becoming more urban than rural. So is that also part, was that maybe part of the national change a little bit, because you just don't have as many rural kids to pick from?
Well, we know that we have traditionally done a really great job of reaching rural youth because of the legacy involved, that if you understand 4-H, of course you want to be involved in 4-H if you know what it is, but we realize that those kids in the city don't necessarily have that same connection and don't understand that 4-H could be for them as well. Nationally, only about 25% of our national over 8 million youth actually are from small communities. They really are from our urban centers. We aren't, that isn't necessarily the case here in Iowa. We need to do a better job of making sure, we know the great things that 4-H does, we need to do a better job of making sure that every youth has an opportunity to experience 4-H in whatever way works for them. It may be doing a culmination event like this, you know, working up on a project. It may also be STEM. It may be a career exploration. Whatever it is for them. We actually have programs. Soccer for Success is a program that we have in several counties here in Iowa, because we had more urban kids that they didn't have an animal project and actually weren't interested in an animal project, but they were interested in learning about soccer. And so we introduce soccer, and then we get an opportunity to teach them leadership and citizenship. They'll do service projects, which is foundational to 4-H. They'll get to do all those things. They won't even know that they're getting all those life skills and competency opportunities.
Oh, sneaking in learning when we should be having fun. That's well done.
They never know.
They never know. I'm involved with a program that's about agriculture and feeding the world. To explain it to someone in town on why, where their food grows and where it comes from matters. I want to hear your pitch to someone in Davenport or Waterloo or Council Bluffs, why someone in town should care about joining 4-H. What's your sales pitch to them?
That's a great sales pitch. Because it really isn't. I don't care what your project is. I don't care what you want to learn about. I want you to be passionate about something. And that passion may be, it could be your dog or cat project in town, but it may also be gardening. It may be plant care. It may be aerospace. It may be STEM. Whatever it is, that project you want to learn about, and then we sneak in those opportunities to teach life skills, because you'll also be involved in a record book, which is planning and budgeting and telling us what you've learned. The other piece that's really important for our more urban youth is understanding that service learning is a critical component of the 4-H experience, connecting youth to their communities. If they feel connected to their communities, they're less likely to do damage to it. If they feel connected, they want it. They want to help it. We want to grow good citizens. We want those urban youth to feel like, this is my community. I want to register to vote. I want to actually vote. This is an opportunity for me to, I see that I've got a neighbor who we know, you know, is struggling. I want to go mow their lawn, or I want to go bring them a basket of food and leave it on their, we want them to feel like they care about those that live in their community. And there's nothing better than that. If you feel like it's your community and you want to take care of it, that also means that you have a sense of self, and you have a sense, an investment in yourself and your family as well.
I think you had said it earlier, but we're trying to make better citizens.
Absolutely. That is the overarching, for 120 years, goal of 4-H is growing good citizens. We want youth to complete the 4-H experience and feel like they need to, not want to, need to register to vote. Go to that county council, to the county commissioner meeting. Go to the city meeting. Go to the water quality meeting, because they see there's something that needs to be done. I want them to feel empowered that they can do something about it.
We've seen the baby animals. The name of the segment is Corn Dog Conversation. What's your stance on corn dogs?
As often as possible, as many as possible. They're addicting. I'm going to have one for lunch. I love me some corn dogs. I will say my favorite fair food, though, is an elephant ear. It's an underutilized fair food.
That is an old school one.
I'm old school.
I love
me an elephant ear. I found one. It was my goal of the year. I found an elephant ear on camp. on the fairgrounds. So
describe to people what an elephant ear is.
It's a stretched out funnel cake.
Yeah.
Yep. So they actually, I like it with cinnamon and sugar, a little bit butter, and it's a nice big soft piece of bread that you pull pieces off. I think I like it over a funnel cake because I tend to get less of it on me. Funnel cake has all those little crevices where it all lives and it spills all over me.
But if you don't have powdered sugar all over you, have you even tried to fare?
You have not lived. You have not lived. I agree.
All right. So this job, you've lived in all around this country. What makes Iowans similar but different to our compatriots in, say, Oregon or Florida?
Grew up in Oregon, spent 16 years living in Florida. There's a passion in agriculture in all three. There's a sense of independence in all three. They feel very proud of their states. The passion for 4-H in Iowa makes them unique, as well as their commitment to a family-based agricultural program. Nowhere that I've lived, and I have actually even lived in Australia, have I seen that generational commitment to farming together. And that is that family piece is not something that you can replace. And that is a passionate thing here in Iowa.
We love our family, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Debbie, I appreciate your time, and I hope you find the best corn dog possible. The best. Maybe
right.
Find a second option for an elephant ear. Just for variety.
You can compare the two.
Awesome. Enjoy. Thank you so
much.
Thanks.
You bet.
That will do it for this installment of the MTOM Show podcast. My thanks to Dr. Debbie Nissler with Iowa 4-H. She is embarked on this adventure and is jumping all in at the Iowa State Fair, and we hope you've enjoyed jumping into the Iowa State Fair. If you have feedback, hit me up at paul.yeager@iowapbs.org. This is a production of the Market to Market TV show and Iowa PBS. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you next time.
Moody's Analytics will host its second annual Ag Day virtual conference dedicated to the discussion of agriculture. Ag lending professionals come together for 2 days of peer sharing, best practice concepts, and critical insight into agriculture's road ahead. Learn more at moodysanalytics.com/Moody's Ag Day 2021.